Let's dive in. So, our church has an allotment, in case you didn't know, out at the allotments in Eden. And we've had it for years. And it's kind of reinvented itself many times, from someone leading it through to someone else leading it through to this group using it. And over years and years and years, it's had lots of activity some years, and other times it's been left fallow. And I guess it probably reached its highlight or its heyday during COVID, simply because there was not much else to do, right? And Hugo Crawford and Ellie and the family, they spent hours there working really, really hard. And during that time, you know, we couldn't really meet in people's houses. We couldn't even meet in each other's back gardens, but you could meet in a public space. And so we used it for a couple of the men's life groups would have met there. And it was just a wonderful place, a wonderful sanctuary, really, for us to go and to deepen our friendships with one another. But as we went each week, we did actually do a bit of work, and we actually did a fair bit of work. And like, honestly, I hadn't got a clue what I was doing. It was a case of, like, you had the beds, the kind of, you know, and I'd be like, let's see the green thing. Is that a flower? Is that a weed? Is that a vegetable? What is that? Hugo, come here. And I'm looking at Marty. He's nodding too. He hadn't got a baldy, although he's really hands-on, bull in a china shop. Let's go and tear that shed up, and let's do this, and let's do that, as Marty is. Sorry to pick on you, but you were there smiling at me. Now you're not smiling. and so the thing that amazed me was that whenever we cleared the weeds, we put these seeds in, over time, guess what happened? Things started sprouting up. And half the time we didn't know what it was. And thankfully we remembered to kind of put the onion packet there that reminded us that, oh, that bit's onions and that bit's courgettes or whatever. But there was something really thrilling, maybe I'm showing my age, of putting these seeds in the ground, these things just growing up. It's just absolutely amazing. I've just such fond memories of seeing all that stuff happen, but also the friendships growing and deepening there. This morning we continue our series, which we began last week, about the parables that Jesus taught, and the ones specifically recorded in Mark's gospel. Some of them are really specific, just to Mark. He just put them in there. And today's passage, which we'll get to in a minute, is about the parable of growing seeds. And we'll look at it in a minute. But before we do, let's remind ourselves, what is a parable? A parable, as we looked at the video last week, for those of you who are here or you're caught up on Facebook, a parable is really a story which Jesus used so skillfully and so brilliantly. And it was usually this picture, this analogy, which described and had deeper meaning about either himself or about the kingdom which he was bringing. So there were messages, there were stories about him or the kingdom. And what it did is it invited the listener into it was usually a simple short story which created some thinking and some trying to grapple with in order to reveal a deeper, more significant truth. Jesus also used them to great effect to protect himself, because he made great claims about himself through the teaching of parables. So instead of coming out with, "I am the Messiah," which would have got him in loads of trouble with the religious people, he would use stories which invited those who have ears to hear to actually reveal the messages of what he was saying, but kind of secretly, sort of under the radar through stories. And that's really a lot about what parables are about. Those of you who have made the wise decision to sign up to be part of a life group, a community of believers within us, and meeting each week, you get the opportunity of taking what we're speaking about on the Sundays and talking about it even more during the week, and allowing God's word, which was spoken 2,000 years ago, revealed and recorded in Mark's gospel. You get to chew on it, you get to discuss it, and you get to allow and invite the Holy Spirit today to reveal things about himself, his kingdom, to us today. And you get to do that in our life groups some more during the week. And so to today's passage, we're Mark chapter 4, 26 to 29, short and sweet. And it's actually a fairly simple one to understand this week. Some of them are way trickier to kind of get. This one's actually quite simple. Mark 4:26 then reads, "He also said, this is what the kingdom of God is like." So this one's about the kingdom. It's not about him. It's about the kingdom. "A man scatters seed on the ground, night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up. The seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how, all by itself. The soil produces corn, first the stalk, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. As soon as the corn is ripe, he puts the sickle to it, because the harvest has come." This is the word of the Lord. This is Jesus' words to us. Short and sweet. How does it apply? And well, let's have a look. Let's explain the parable to begin with. It's similar to the parable of the sower, which we read earlier in the chapter. So if you're reading your scriptures later, if we read chapter 4 of Mark's gospel, it's the well-known parable of the sower, the one who went to sow seeds, and the seeds fell on four different types of ground. And depending on the ground where the seed was sown, depended upon how much of the seed would grow up. And we'll touch on it in a little bit later. And so this parable, found later in chapter 4, is a follow-on from what Jesus was saying. It expands really on the good soil, the one of the four grounds that the seed fell on, the good soil of how seeds grow and produce a harvest at the right time. Secondly, Jesus emphasizes the seed grows without the man's help. And this really is the whole point of the parable. If we're trying to understand what is he actually talking about, this is the point. The point is that the seed grows regardless of man's intervention. The soil and the water and the nutrition, that's what grows the seed. When we were messing around at the allotment, we put the seeds into the soil and nature took its role and its place. And that's what grew the seed and that's what produced fruit. And that's what at some point we grew a harvest and we gave some of the vegetables away. All by itself, the soil produces corn. Then the parable ends with a harvest. When the grain is ripe, the seed is harvested, and this happens at just the right time. So what does it actually mean in terms of what is actually Jesus trying to say through the parable? That's the physicality, or that's the meaning behind the actual story of seeds and soil. But what is Jesus actually wanting to say to us? It's really quite simple. Our role is to sow seeds. His job and his kingdom, he's the one who grows the seeds in people's hearts. Whether we sleep, whether we work, whether we do this, whether we do that, that's not our role. Our role, and what Jesus invites us into, is sowing seeds. The kingdom of God is the soil and the water. The seed planted in a man or a woman's heart, in their mind, is left and it's planted and it takes root, but it's the kingdom that grows it in the person. And there's not much else really that we can do. It's him, it's his part. We see this truth at work in Paul's letter to the Corinthians. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 3, "I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, God has been making it grow. So neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow." Apollos is a contemporary, he's an evangelist, and he kind of comes alongside, really, comes off the back of what Paul had done by sowing the seed, by teaching the scriptures, or by teaching the truth about Jesus and his kingdom. Apollos comes and waters it, which we assume to mean that he just furthered the message, but he is making the point, and he is reaffirming Jesus' words of this parable, that it's God who brings about the growth. So what? So what? Let's supply this now. How does this actually impact us, the listener, the hearer today? Three things briefly. This is a very brief message this morning. Firstly, God invites us to sow seeds, to be faithful in sowing seeds. Later, Paul writes in 1 Corinthians, "The one who plants and the one who waters have one purpose, and they each will be rewarded according to their own labor. For we are fellow workers in God's service." We're his workers, we're his laborers out into his field. And he invites us, he calls us to fulfill the Great Commission about going into the world and making disciples. And part of that is about sowing seeds. It is sharing our faith. It is revealing the truth that has been revealed to us, to other people that have yet to hear, to those who have ears to hear. God invites us who know Jesus to sow seeds, to go about our daily life looking for opportunities to scatter some seeds over here in our neighborhood, or to scatter some seeds there in amongst the sports club, or scatter some seeds in amongst the playground and amongst our friends at school, or wherever God has us and takes us, he's asking and inviting us to scatter some seeds. Now, in Northern Ireland, we have a rich history of spreading the word, of giving it to them. And you know, you haven't got to go far in Northern Ireland to, you out in your car and you can see the word, you know, on a placard nailed onto a tree somewhere. Or you're kind of driving along and you see, oh my goodness, the wages of sin is death. That's nice. You know, and it's true, by the way. I'm making a point, I'm being facetious, but it still is the word and it still is the Bible. But often I think we, in kind of the vineyard or churches like ours, we can actually mock and scorn. And I'm not saying for one second, let's start giving out hellfire and damnation tracts. You know, I'm not for one second saying, let's stand up and let's preach about how terrible people are and how we're all going to hell, because that often is the message. But I think we can actually be slightly pious and go, oh, well, we don't do that. We let our actions speak louder than words, which is partly true. But I think that God is inviting us to not kind of hide our lamp under a bowl. He is actually inviting us to let our light shine and look for opportunities to say, actually, the Bible teaches this, but always doing it in a loving way, in a kind way, in a way that actually invites people into relationship with Jesus. Look at how Jesus led and how he went about his way. He actually was hardest against the religious people, and he was always much more gracious and kind and loving to sinners. And he often invited them in, and he shared words like these to bring about an invitation into relationship with him. So my encouragement is, as we look at this parable, that God's got in your pockets, Matt, you've got some seed in your pocket. And as you go, you're scattering some seed here and here. And you don't know what kind of soil or what kind of ground it's going to land on. But God just invites us to do that. Secondly, and this really reaffirms what Elizabeth was saying, God also invites us to prayerfully pray for growing seeds. Many of us in the room will have loved ones who are not following Jesus in the way that you would like them to be. God just invites us, it's just to faithfully pray. The seed has been sown. They know the truth. They know the stuff. They've been in environments, maybe when they were younger, or they've heard this. Oh, I wish, oh, God, we don't wish, we pray, we continue to contend, we continue to pray that the harvest would come, that they would come to know Jesus. And for some, it takes many, many years. Many years. It's not up to us, but God does invite us to pray, to, I guess in some ways like Apollos, to water the seed that has been sown. Lastly, the reality is, though, for some, the harvest never comes. And I'm just being honest and real and hopefully true to the scripture at the beginning of chapter 4. The seed falls on 4 different types of ground. Jesus makes it really clear. If the seed falls on the path, the seeds there, the birds eat them up. And the meaning is that Satan just simply comes and just steals the seed, steals the word. And there's no growth that takes place. If the seed falls on rocky places where there wasn't enough soil, roots were shallow, as it begins to kind of take root and start growing up, it will wither and die. And Jesus is making the point, when trouble and persecution and hardship comes, which it does to all of us, then some fall away as a result. And then the seed that falls amongst the thorns, as it grows amongst the thorns as well. The thorns choke the corn. And Jesus is making the point that when worries or wealth or other desires keep them from fully entering in and giving their hearts to Jesus. And so the reality based on this and based on what we know and people that we know and we love, that very often the seed never actually comes to the place of harvest and of salvation the way that we as believers would really want it to be. I don't want to necessarily end on that sad note, but let's leave perhaps on a better note. Jesus invites his disciples and he says this. He says, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. There are people in our midst, in our families, our neighborhoods, where the seed was sown some time ago, and they're just ripe. They're just ripe for us to take the sickle and actually harvest, and to harvest where we have not scattered. And we get the opportunity. There are people that are just longing to enter, to make that step into towards the kingdom. And if we would just be open to what God is doing and saying. I want to end with this very brief story, and I hope it's okay to share. I was speaking to an RE teacher, a friend of mine in school, and she had shared with me, we've been chatting loads actually about what the Lord is doing in amongst the school, the academy, and just some wonderful things actually happening. And she said to me, she said this girl in her class came up to her and she said, Miss, I've become a Christian. And she was like, oh wow, that's amazing, great, you know, how did that happen? And she said, it happened in your class. It happened 2 weeks ago. And she was like, what do you mean? And she was able to tell her whatever, and it was in the curriculum. She was obviously teaching whatever it was. I think it was death, resurrection. And she was teaching this stuff literally to the class. And in that moment, in that time, this person gave her life to Jesus. She was like, that's amazing. Flip, why didn't you tell me? She's like, I am. I'm telling you now. And you just think, wow, that was easy. There's people. God's been growing. The soil, the seed's there, and the soil's doing its work. God's doing its work. And he's inviting us to sow seeds and reap a harvest. And that's the best bit about what we get to do, isn't it? That's the best. Oh, my goodness. When we hear those stories of salvation, when we hear those stories, we see those things of God's kingdom coming. It's just wonderful. 2 weeks from now, it's just going to be really special. We get to baptize people. That is like the creme de la creme. That is like, oh, yes, please. That's just a wonderful celebratory day.